Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
Luke chapter 22, and let's start in verse 31 if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word. And the title of the message today is How to Survive Satan's Sifting. And before I read the text, I want you to know where this is at. Jesus is in the upper room. He's been in the upper room with his disciples. And they have already broke bread, and last week we celebrated the Lord's Supper here, and we looked at the verses preceding this, and this week we're just moving down the page a little bit and picking up where Jesus left off. And so here Jesus is going to have a conversation with Peter about sifting, then they will exit from there and they'll go to the Mount of Olives, and that's where Jesus has that great time of praying not his will but God's will be done in the Garden of Gethsemane. So pick up in Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Now I love verse 32. He says, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, Jesus already knew that he was going to stumble. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Really important. Now I want you to look at the response of Peter in verse 33. He didn't accept what the Lord said, but here's what he said. He said, but he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And then verse 34, he says, then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me deny three times that you know me. And then he gives them some instruction. And then we know what happens when Peter is in the wrong place at the wrong time around the wrong people after the arrest of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, we pray this morning that you would give us insight from your word and how we can stand under temptation and how we can stand when we are being sifted by the evil one. And Father, how we can discern when it is the enemy that is speaking to our heart and lying to our minds. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the thing that it always interests me is when you look at verse 31, I want you to see this. The Bible says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Now we know that Jesus had changed the name of Simon to what? Peter. Peter. But here Jesus is referring to the old nature. Jesus is referring to Simon, your old name. Simon should have listened at that point and realized, my flesh is getting in the way. And what had happened with Simon, Simon has been up in the upper room with all the other disciples. They've had the Last Supper together, and Jesus instituted the new covenant there with what his blood represented and what his body represented in the bread. They've seen Jesus wash their feet. Remember, Peter in John chapter 13 had said, Lord, don't wash me. Remember, Peter had a heart of pride. Lord, don't wash me. Don't wash me. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you can have no part of me. And remember how Peter responded. He said, you can wash all of me. I mean, he changed his mind real quick. And so Jesus is washing their feet. Jesus is serving them, and he's teaching them a lesson that those who are the greatest in the kingdom are those who are the servants of the least. And so he's teaching them about humility, knowing what Peter and the other disciples are about to face this night. They didn't know, but Jesus knew. And so we get to this point, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, in verse 31, indeed, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. The first thing I want you to notice, and it's on your outline, is this. If you want to make sure, you want to watch, and you want to know how to survive Satan's sifting, here's the first thing you need to do. It is this. Satan is trying to expose your flaws through temptation. In other words, what sifting does is it separates something. If you sift the chaff from the wheat, what they would do is they'd go out and they'd cut the stalks of the wheat, and then they would go to a threshing floor. Typically, the threshing floor was hard paved surfaces, and they would go up on a high hill where there was a good breeze that would blow, and they would take those wheat stalks up there, and if it was a little bit of wheat, they could just simply beat the the heads of the wheat on that hard floor, and then it had above that or below that there was big gaps, and then it had these reeds that were woven together, and these reeds had real tiny gaps, and the wheat, the grain, would fall through those small gaps. But in a larger harvest, they would use what they called a sieve, and they would drag the sieve over all the stalks, and that would crush and separate the chaff from the grain. And that grain would fall through, and then they would take a winnowing fan, or a, like we would call a pitchfork, something like that, and they would go underneath the stalks, and they would throw it up into the breeze like this, just keep tossing it into the breeze so that any grain left in the heads or the shucks would fall down and go into their gathering basin. And so that's how they did it. And Jesus is saying, Simon, Simon, not using his name Peter. He's saying his old nature. He's saying, Simon, Simon. He says, indeed. In other words, I know what I'm talking about here, Simon, and you need to listen to me. He says, indeed, Satan has asked. That word for asked in the Greek is a word for demanded. It's interesting because here you have Satan coming to the Lord asking. He needs permission to touch Simon Peter the night of his arrest. Now, you say, what does that mean to me? It means that whenever God allows us to experience a test, He always allows that experience for a reason that is good. It always has a purpose down the road. And so Satan could not touch Peter without permission. Now that is very important. Because you say, has that ever happened before in the Bible? Do you think about an Old Testament book? Job. Before Satan could do the things he did to Job, God had to allow it. So anytime God does allow something, He's allowing it for our good. He's allowing it for something that's better down the road. But Simon doesn't catch it right here. Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, what is it that Satan was looking for? Was he looking for the grain or was he looking for the chaff? You see, the Lord looks for the grain. Satan looks for the chaff. Satan wanted to expose the chaff. Satan wanted to expose all of Peter's flaws, all of his weaknesses. That's what Satan does. When you're being tempted, let me tell you what Satan's trying to do. He knows where you're weak. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8 that he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Last night, Tracy and I was watching one of those shows on TV where they talk about all these different animals. I love watching that. And I don't know what it's called, but they had a documentary on lions, and we were watching how lions do. And these lions were in this big grain field, you might have seen it, or field of straw, and they're creeping real slow. And then there's this big herd of buffalo out there. And there's this one buffalo, and he's big and he's bad to the bone. And he knows he's big and he's bad to the bone. And that one big buffalo, he doesn't worry about staying with the herd. He's just kind of hanging out by himself. He sees the lions, and he just keeps chewing his cud. He's not worried about them. And here they come, creeping through the grass. They finally get to that big buffalo, and that biggest lion, I called him the devil last night. He was the devil. And then he had all his little demons right there running around with him. And I mean, the devil pounces up on the back of that big old buffalo. And I mean, he's got a hold of him, and then here comes all the other lions, and that buffalo, he is working, and I mean, he fights, and he fights, and praise the Lord, I was praying for the buffalo. And at the end, the buffalo, he finally escapes. Those lions had done met their match, but that buffalo learned a lesson, because he walked away hurting. But he was going to be okay, according to the guy that was narrating the movie. That made me feel better, too. But that is how Satan works. Satan is prowling, and he is watching. And he was prowling on the night of Jesus' arrest. And he's going to the disciples. He's got Jesus in his sights. He's got the others in his sights. And he looks and he sees all these disciples. He's got every one of those disciples in his sights. You say, how do you know? Look at the verse right here, verse 31. He says, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has demanded, or Satan has asked for you. That word for you right there is plural. It's not singular. Has asked for you. Simon, you're one of them, but he's asked for all of you. He wants to sift you. And he says that he may sift you, plural, as wheat. Then you get to verse 32, but I have prayed for you, singular, to Simon Peter. He's saying, but I've prayed for you. Now, we know the Bible says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. We know that the disciples scattered. We know that Peter never caught what was fixing to happen to him. Listen, Satan wanted to expose Peter's flaws so that he could beat Peter up, so that he could discourage Peter and somehow get Peter convinced to quit serving this Jesus. He's fixing to be dying on a cross. He's fixing to be persecuted before men. And you're going to suffer with him if you follow him. You see what Satan was doing? He was whispering discouragement in the ear. And guess what happens? Peter's like, Jesus, you've got this all wrong. Jesus is God. When his word says something, you can take it to the bank. He's like, Jesus, you got this all wrong. Here's his response. Lord, I'm ready to go with you. So how are you ready? He was not ready. If he was ready, here's what he would have done. He'd have said, Jesus, I take you at your word. I've seen your word work miracles. I've seen your word feed over 5,000. I've seen your word allow you to walk on water. I've seen your word raise the dead. He would have said, Jesus, I trust you at your word. He would have said, so if you say that I'm going to do this, if you say that I'm going to deny you, what can I do, Lord, to prevent that? How can I prevent that? He would have humbled himself before God, but he didn't. And so the Lord says, no, there's going to be this rooster that's going to crow. And when it crows, it'll be the third time that you've denied me. Now, here's where Peter made his mistake. This is where you want to listen real close, especially any young people that are listening in here today. Be careful where you hang out. Choose your friends wisely. The Bible says evil company corrupts good habits. You know what Peter did? Peter went and sat with the servants outside the high priest's house. They've got Jesus in there. They're trying to accuse him and convict him and judge him. And Peter's hanging out with the enemy. He's sitting around a fire. We know for a fact, because the Bible tells us, that Peter sat there at least a full hour. Because the Bible says after an hour had passed, the third person walked up and said, surely this is a Galilean. Satan sipped in him as wheat. Look at what Peter did, and then we'll move on. But I want you to see this. In my Bible, you got to flip the page. But go to verse 54. Luke 22:54. And let's look at the scene. Having arrested him, talking about Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. That was his first mistake. He knew he was weak. He had already heard that from the Lord, but he hangs out with the enemy. Verse 56, and a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. Verse 58. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you are also of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Verse 59. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, somebody that was convinced, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Verse 60. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Now, there's two scriptures you might write in your Bible or in your notes. Two things to discern immediately when you find yourself being sifted of the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 and 1 Peter 5:9. In 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says to be vigilant and watchful. In fact, I want to read it. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So the first thing you want to do is you want to practice self-control and you want to be watchful. What that means is I've got to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling me right now, because I am falling into temptation. And you know what? Yesterday, I took Caitlin fishing, and we carried as much temptation to fish with as we could get. I mean, I carried two deals of night crawlers. I mean, those night crawlers, they'll surely do the trick. I carried, and I don't know why, but I love the smell of Catfish Charlie. We carried Catfish Charlie and some other catfish baits. I even bought a tiny torpedo. So if nothing else works, I'm going to bomb those fish, but one way or another, we're going to get a fish. And so what are we doing? We are trying to lure those fish to the hook. What the fish don't know, we know. The fish don't know that what you think you're fixing to eat is all false. What you think is going to help you and make your life better is all a lie. Because what we have hidden within that bait is this thing called a hook. And it's our snare. And we're going to snag you, and hopefully you're going to be big enough that we can fry you. You see, that's how Satan works. He throws the bait out there, and he makes it look good. And he wants us to live life independent of God, not depending on God. And as long as we're living life independent of God, then we don't think that we need God. And so we tote God around like our wallet in our back pocket. I'll only take you, Lord, when I need you. But the Lord says, no, you need me this morning when you woke up. You need me right now. You've got to depend on me. So the first one is to practice self-control and pay attention. Discern. The second one is in the next verse. So what do? You know now you're being tested. You know you're being tempted. So what do? The Bible says right off the bat, resist him. How do you resist him? Only one way. Steadfast in the faith. You say, what is my faith? Your faith is your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. And his word, Jesus speaks to you through his word. And he gives you his word so that he can remind you of what he wants you to do in that critical moment of temptation. And so you're being tempted and you begin to resist him. You begin to say, Lord, draw me close. Lord, set me free from this temptation. And you begin to resist him, and what will happen is every step you take in resistance, God takes a step towards you. The Bible says flee from the devil and he will flee from you, but draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. So every step you take towards God in temptation, God is taking another step towards you and opening your mind and your understanding to understand how to discern what to do next. Does that make sense? That's how God works. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to, secondly, resist him steadfast in the faith. Then number two, remember this. Always remember number one, that Satan is trying to expose your weaknesses because he wants to beat you up and tear you down. And he wants to expose your weaknesses. But number two, remember this. Jesus is praying for you. Aren't you glad of that? Did you know? Have you ever wondered what Jesus is doing right now? He's at the right hand of God as your high priest. He's the prophet. He's the king. And he's the high priest. Jesus right now is at the right hand of the Father. And he's looking at you as your advocate, the Bible says. That you have when we have sinned, we have an advocate. That's like a lawyer with the Father. Jesus is our divine lawyer. It's all been paid for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Your lawyer fees were paid for at the cross. When Jesus says it is finished, all things that you need to be complete in him was took care of at Calvary. It was guaranteed at the resurrection. That's powerful. And so Jesus is saying, here's what you got to do. You got to remember, I'm praying for you. I love the intercessory prayer of John chapter 17. Where he prays for those who will believe because of others' word. So if you've believed because you've heard a sermon or you were in VBS or a grandmother or a mother or a daddy led you to the Lord, did you know that you were already prayed for way back there in that intercessory prayer? God prayed for you. Did you know that right now that Jesus Christ is praying for you? You say, well, I haven't given my heart to Jesus Christ. He's praying for you that you'll give your heart to Jesus Christ. It's the best decision you can ever make. That's why the gospel means good news. It's the best news this world has ever heard, that Jesus is Savior. But he's also, once he saves you, he doesn't stop right there. He continues praying for you, helping you, leading you, guiding you, chastising you. I mean, I've fallen into his chastisement many times, and so have you. And it's no fun. But I tell you, you can smile when you do because it's the Lord saying, I love you enough to chastise you. I love you enough to care. I love you enough to tell you the truth. That's how much I love you. He doesn't just let us go. Aren't you glad we have a Savior like that? Jesus is praying for you. You know, I like to think of it like this. When you're looking at that question that Jesus heard from the devil, he says, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. In a sense, there was two plans and two prayers in that verse. You had a plan of the devil and a prayer of the devil to hurt you, destroy you, and misguide you. That was the plan of the devil. Kill, steal, and destroy. Then you have another prayer, and it was the prayer of God. And it was that your faith wouldn't fail. It was that after you have returned to me, that you would strengthen your brethren. You know what's interesting, and you can see it in your last point right here, is thirdly, Jesus sees you, and his word will turn you. Jesus sees you, and his word will turn you. Look at verse 61. Luke chapter 22, verse 61. You know what? I want to back up. Back up to 59. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. And listen to this. While Peter is saying, man, I do not know what you are saying, here's what's happening. While he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Boy, that was one rooster crow he didn't want to hear, isn't it? Man, you see, he hadn't even thought about it until the And at that, suddenly Peter knew. Uh-oh. Peter started counting. Let's say that would have been the third. Uh-oh. I sat with the enemy. I walked around following the enemy. What's that, Jim Rapp, that Psalms chapter, where's Jim Rapp? Psalms chapter 1 says, but if you walk in the place of the ungodly and you sit with the ungodly, that's what he had done. And Peter realized he made a mistake. But I want you to look at Peter's response. And I want you to look at Jesus' response, because I believe that God knew all this from the foundation of the world, and that these scriptures are in our Bibles to teach us today how God works. Verse 61, and the Lord turned the very instant that Peter denied Jesus that third time, just as Jesus said he would, at that very instant, notice the reaction of the Lord. You see, the Lord knows your heart. And when you sin against the Lord, and when you do good in the name of the Lord, because he's working through you, both times he'll be turning. We know he was standing at the martyrdom of Stephen at the right hand of God. We know that right here, he turned. Jesus turned. I don't know how far Jesus was when Peter denied him. I don't know if it was 20 feet, 100 feet, or 1,000 feet. But it doesn't matter, because Jesus is God. And remember what Jesus said to Nathanael, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. And Nathanael's like, what? How'd you know? He told the disciples when they were preparing for the Lord's Supper, go to the gates of the city and you'll see somebody with a water vessel. Follow them to the house, tell them the master has need of this place. Jesus knew all things before it even came to place. So the Lord, at the moment of his sin, the Bible says, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. This is what that is. Conviction. That's conviction. Today, we don't have Jesus walking in our midst in a physical form, but we have him in the form of the Holy Spirit in our midst. And when you and I sin, we feel, maybe we didn't feel it on sin number one or sin number two, but at sin number three or sin number four or sin number five, he's going to get our attention. And then when that happens, we feel the look of the Savior. Hebrews 4:13, all things are naked and exposed to him. All things. And so Jesus, with loving eyes, with holy eyes, with forgiving eyes, he looks at Peter, and then look at what happens. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord. That's truth number one when you resist the devil. Remember the word of the Lord. How he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. You know, it's God's word that turns us. You say, why is it important that I read the Bible? You'd be amazed at how many Christians that are in church every Sunday but don't spend very much time in their Bible. They'll grab their Bible on Sunday morning and they'll bring it to church, but they're not in it during the week. And let me tell you why you need to be getting the Word in your heart. Even if you're not understanding what you're reading, don't worry about it. Even if what you're reading is not making sense at the moment, because what God is doing, He is hiding His Word in your heart. This is the voice of God. This is His voice. This is His speech. This is His revelation to you and I. And so as you're hiding that in your heart and you're being tempted, or maybe you're being led of the Spirit, maybe it's just the opposite, you need God's affirming Word. You need God to affirm His Word when you're following the lead of the Spirit. And God will take His Word and He will speak to your heart. But if you're sinning against the Lord and you're being tempted and you're being tested and you're being tried, what God will do in that test, if you will just tell the Lord, be honest with Him. Peter didn't do that. Be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just so weak right now. And you know what He'll do? He'll remind you of a scripture. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He'll remind you of another scripture. Make no provision for the lust of the flesh. He'll remind you of scripture. You start sowing in unrighteousness, you're going to reap in unrighteousness. He'll just start reminding you to know to do good and not to do it is sin. It's just going to be one scripture after another. And what He's doing is that is God. It's not you just remembering a verse you read. It is the Holy Spirit saying, this is the Word of God that I've hidden in your heart. And He's bringing it to your attention that quick to give you guidance. Is that wonderful or what? That's the Savior that we follow. So when you're being sifted, remember that Satan is wanting to expose your flaws, all of your weaknesses, so that when you fail, he wants to whisper in your ear, there's no reason for you to continue following the Lord. You're not good enough. He wants to beat you down and beat you up and discourage you to where you'll get out of following the Lord. But the Lord wants to forgive you. He wants to lift you up, and He wants to use you for His kingdom. I love how this story ended. You know how the story ended? The two Marys show up at the tomb early Sunday morning at the resurrection. They show up at the tomb not expecting Jesus to be gone. They showed up to anoint His body and do some work on the body. They get there. The tomb door is already open, and there's some angels, two angels. And the angels tell the two Marys, they said, go tell the disciples and Peter that He has risen from the grave. Those angels knew to say something about Peter because the Lord said to the angels, hey, make sure you tell them about Peter too, because I know he's hurting. And then you know what happens? Later, at the very end of the book of John, Peter says, I'm a-going fishing. And he gets in the boat, and the other disciples said, we'll go with you. They get out there in the water. They fished all night long. They didn't catch anything. I know how he feels. And what's funny is Jesus is standing there the next morning at daylight. He's already got a coal of fires built. He probably just said, let there be fire. I mean, it was easy for him to make breakfast. And there's Jesus, the fire is built, and He says, children, why did He address them as children? Born again children. Children, have you caught any food? No, we hadn't caught anything. Cast your nets on the right side. They cast the nets on the right side, and they had 153 large fish. Peter's so excited, he had his outer garment off. He throws that around him. He bails out of the boat, and he swims to shore because he knew that Jesus still loved him. He needed to be restored. Jesus restores him. You know the rest of the story. You get to the end. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? He didn't say Simon. This time He said, Peter. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. He asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says at that third time, Lord, you know all things. Humility hit. You know me better than I know myself, Lord. And Peter gave his heart right there completely to Jesus in a brand new way. Jesus knew it so much so that Jesus knew he could share even how he was going to die and Peter could handle it. That's pretty awesome. You see, God loves you and He does have a plan for your life. Satan has a plan too. He wants to destroy you and your family. Don't let him do it. You don't have to. He doesn't love you. He doesn't care anything about you. But Jesus does.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the worship service at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church and Pastor Bruce Rudd. If you've been blessed by this radio ministry, or if you've made a decision for Christ, or are in need of prayer, we would love to hear from you at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas. Give us a call, 903-882-3890. Thank you, and God bless.